We're open for business live.
This is Sheffield Live.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We are committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 7th of April, 2017. I'm Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. We're broadcasting live from the Sheffield Live studio in the showroom workstation above the showroom bar in the centre of Sheffield. I'm just back from a week and a day away in Spain, rock climbing. There was no Business Live show last week. But we're back on air today, and I'm really excited to have two guests in the studio with me. Dan Baxter, he knows ever such a lot about beer. He's from the Aberdale Brewery. And Justin Rowntree knows ever such a lot about food. Food and beer, what a wonderful pairing. And we'll be talking with Justin and Dan today on the show. Just a quick plug, though. This show, like all Sheffield Live shows, will be uploaded as a podcast to the Sheffield Live website later on today. You can be listening live right now, of course, as you are, on FM radio and through the internet. But you can also get the Business Live show and all of our other shows through our website. Download it as a podcast afterwards and listen to your heart's content. Whilst you're browsing for shows, you can explore a wealth of music from Motown to rock to reggae and much, much more. There's swing, there's jazz. We've even got a two-hour show about Elvis. So there's a whole lot of musical discovery awaiting you on the Sheffield Live website. What's been going on in business and in social enterprise over the last few days? Well, Sheffield's commercial property investment market for 2016 has seen the city's highest levels of overseas investment, according to Knight Frank. And the city's office market drove record investment levels for the year, with foreign spend topping £60 million and amounting to 82% of turnover, with prestige properties like Vulcan House at the J2 Riverside Exchange and Riverside East Office, which of course is home to Irwin Mitchell, the law firm, being snapped up by investors. So this has come from the Knight Frank UK Regional Cities Review 2017. And they've also highlighted a four-fold increase in Sheffield's total investment volumes in 2016 over the previous year to reach £83 million by the year end. Now, that was 60% above the 10-year average. It was the highest level of office investment in Sheffield for 6 years. The report from Knight Frank has also demonstrated that occupiers from the technology, the media and the telecommunications sectors represented 23% of 2016's total take-up. And the most notable deal from a tech occupier was a 7,840-square-foot letting to Zoo Digital at City Gate when they moved from Furnival Tower. Too few SMEs, small and medium-sized enterprises, are aware of how asset-based finance could accelerate their growth, according to research from merchant and corporate bank Close Brothers. They say that many SMEs are increasingly confident about their prospects for the year ahead, but lack of access to funding threatens to hold them back, potentially dampening broader economic growth. And they say that the lack of awareness of asset-based finance represents a potential stumbling block for SMEs seeking to grow. A survey by the Information Commissioner's Office has revealed that many local authorities are not prepared for the General Data Protection Regulation, which replaces, of course, the Data Protection Act from May 2018. The survey found that a quarter of local authorities do not have a data protection officer in place, and a third of respondents don't carry out privacy impact assessments. Now, these are both requirements of the GDPR. The ICO, the Information Commissioner's Office, has published a range of guidance to help local authorities to comply with requirements before the GDPR takes effect. Now, of course, the GDPR won't only apply to local authorities, it will apply to businesses, social enterprises too. So you might like to take a look at the ICO's website for more details on that. And traders and performers are encouraged to apply to take part in the teenage market that the Federation of Small Businesses are holding. In fact, they're doing a couple in May. Doncaster is holding its first teenage market in the heart of Doncaster Town Centre on Saturday the 13th of May. Rotherham will then be following with a teenage market on the 27th of May. Then there's going to be one in Beverley. And they're running from 10 a.m. through to 4 p.m, welcoming young people from 13 to 25 from across their boroughs or their areas to get involved, showcase their talent or their entrepreneurial spirit. And the FSB invites all young entrepreneurs and performers to help create a great atmosphere for these centres. They're free to take part in. You don't have to be established as a trader or as a performer, and it's really easy to get involved. All you've got to do is visit the traders and performers sections of the Teenage Market website to register and create a profile about who you are, what you do. You can then apply to take part. I'll tweet the link out to do that at the end of the show, just to remind you and get you involved if you want to be involved. So, finally, worth mentioning a free mentoring service. It's available to support new business, budding entrepreneurs and startup business owners throughout the Sheffield City region. Being urged to take advantage of the service, it's a new free mentoring programme to give people the best possible start on their business journey. It's developed by Launchpad, part of the Sheffield City Region Growth Hub, and the scheme matches new entrepreneurs and business owners which have been trading for less than 2 years with an experienced business mentor. A mentor can provide free advice and support whether you're just starting to think about a business idea or whether you're interested in ways to develop and to grow your business. So if you want to work with a business mentor or you want to know more about becoming one, even, you can contact the SCR Launchpad mentoring team. Phone number is 01302 736 062. Get in touch with them. So whether you're starting or running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're an employer or an employee, we're always keen to hear from you. Get you involved with this program. You can get in touch whether you want to comment on something we've been talking about, or on what's affecting your business or social enterprise, whether you want to put yourself or someone else forward to be a guest on the show. We welcome your involvement. All you need to do is email jamie@sheffieldlive.org. Send a text to 07904 272 200. Find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. I think it's time now to bring in our first guest of the day. Justin Rowntree is in the studio. He was the founder of Silversmith's Restaurant, and he's been on the TV recently. He got a call from ITV asking him to appear on The Nightly Show, presented by Dermot O'Leary. So we're going to find out what happened next. Justin, good morning.
Morning. Thanks. Good to be here.
Thanks very much for coming in today. It's great to have you back on the show. You've been on the programme before. It's quite a while ago.
It's a while ago. It is a while ago. So lots of change since then. All good change.
Yes, indeed. So many listeners will know that you featured on a show with Gordon Ramsay a few years ago. And that led to significant changes
in terms of
menus and things at Silversmith's.
Yeah.
And when you got the call a couple of weeks ago about The Nightly Show, what was it all about? Tell us what happened.
Well, it was very much out of the blue. I mean, it's 2009 that Gordon was here for the Great British Nightmares show. And as you rightly say, I mean, it was real revolutionary change that he brought. I mean, there's not a week goes by that someone doesn't say, what's he like and how did it go and what was it all about? And is it all for the cameras? And people I really don't think actually realise how real the advice he gives is and how real the changes he makes are, that he really does turn businesses around. And not only that, he turns people around as well. I was left a very different person, a bit shell-shocked. I was left a very different person with, I think, very different outlooks and very different strengths to build on after he left. And really, I've spent the last 8 years, 9 years building on that blueprint, yes, personally and professionally. So what I'd always wanted to do is be able to thank Gordon. And I'd never got the chance. He never came back to Sheffield, and I'd not seen him. So I really wanted to have that chance to say thank you, because I wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for without him. And got the call from ITV saying he was going to be the new presenter of the nightly show, and they wanted to do a bit of a fun quiz with people from his past to see if he'd remember them and see if he'd remember certain aspects from things he'd done in the past. So that's why I was brought in, to be that person from his past.
Fantastic. So blast from the past for Gordon and the opportunity for you to say thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. It was closing the loop.
Yeah, quite, absolutely. So when you saw each other on TV... How did it feel?
Well, it was, the thing is, I knew I was going to see him. It was a genuine surprise. I had to hide around the studio for the 2 hours that he arrived. Right. Literally, they were like, he's on floor three, get down to floor two. And I was being shoveled around so that he wouldn't see me. So it was a surprise.
Yes.
Again, you sometimes think these are set up, but it genuinely wasn't. They showed a clip from the Great British Nightmares programme, which was probably one of the most confrontational scenes between me and him, and a steak. If you've seen it, you'll know what I mean.
Yep. Quite.
and then he was asked, do you remember the Justin Roundtree, the star of the show there? And he was like, well, yes, I do. It was a very hard episode, that, as he said. He said, well, here he is tonight. And they opened the screens and there I was. And he was genuinely shocked. But what was lovely, he was genuinely pleased. You know, I got the warmest of hugs and some really kind of warm words on stage. And then afterwards, we had a good 10 minutes to talk properly. And for me to bring him up to speed and thank him. And it was really genuine, really genuine.
That's lovely. That's really a very nice development, isn't it? And he must have been thrilled then to hear from you.
Absolutely,
about the impact of his advice back in 2009.
I mean, he said he very rarely, if ever, gets the chance to speak to people, and especially not 8 years down the line. Maybe there's a bit of follow-up, and there was with us, you know, a few months later and a year later. But 8 years down the line, to know that what he's done just genuinely had an impact. Take TV, take the cameras away from it, take that all that side showmanship away from it. He genuinely affected a life, affected a business. And also, I often think about this, you know, the dozens of people I've employed over the years, the many, many people that I've helped mentor, grow, develop, had grown relationships with, really become part of the Silversmiths family, is tangible. And none of those things would be there, which I think has had an impact on the city. I think Silversmiths has done something in a small way for the city, would not be there without him. So testament to all the staff that have been there and the guts and courage of a lot of the people within Silversmiths over the years, but he started it.
Yes, well, that's great to say, and a generous thing to say as well from your point of view. It is a testament to all your team, all your staff who've been there on the journey with you, and to you and your drive and determination, and to Gordon's ideas and the way he did give you a sort of kick in the direction that was perhaps needed, as you say. It was a very confrontational scene back in 2009.
I mean, the thing about, you know, any young business owners listening to this, or anyone who owns a business, will appreciate what I'm just about to say. When you're running your own business and you are at the top of the food chain, there's not really anybody to question you. And what often happens, which is the wrong thing, is friends and supporters tell you what you think you want to hear. You're doing a great thing. That's the right thing to do. Keep pushing down that direction. And it might not be. And they might not actually believe it. And sometimes having someone who's brutally honest about what you're doing and doing right and wrong is what you need. And you were just talking about the mentoring service earlier, which I think is a fantastic thing. And I strongly encourage people to engage with that.
Yes.
Because when you're at the top of your tree, I think Dan's nodding his head here, when you're at the top of the tree, and there's no one else to tell you what's right or wrong, it's easy to make mistakes.
Yeah, and that's a really good point that you make there as well, Justin, because often you're surrounded by friends and family who are highly encouraging.
Absolutely.
They want you to succeed.
Yeah.
but they're not necessarily the right people to say, no, you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, they're not business mentors. No. They might not own their own business. They might not be in business. And so they're just the wrong people to give you advice. And when you, especially after a couple of years, and again, people listening will appreciate this, a couple of years are in, you're running your own business, things aren't quite going right, but you, with dogged determination, still keep following perhaps the same track when really you should be changing it. And that's what I did. I had Runaway Girl. It was a live music venue. And I was, that's what my passion was. That was my baby. And I was following it with dogged determination. And no one was going to tell me otherwise until Gordon came in. And that's why, and I, again, people realise this sometimes, the reason he comes in with such a harsh manner to change you is because he has to break you down and break down your thinking and your, what you believe is right, until he can build you up. A bit like a drill sergeant with a squaddy, they have to teach them how to walk, how to march, how to breathe, how to eat. And only when they are listening to them, then they can then train them properly and take them forward. And that's kind of what Gordon does.
Yes, quite. Excellent. And of course, since his intervention, since his advice in 2009, Silversmith has won many awards.
Yeah.
Won Sheffield's Best Restaurant, Yorkshire's Best Restaurant, and featured in notable food guides as well. The Good Food Guide, of course.
Absolutely. I mean, again, another piece of advice that Gordon gave me, and again, a great piece of advice for anyone out there who's building up their own business, was word of mouth. The money we spent, in the investment I made over the years, was into the staff, was into the business, was not into lots of paper-based advertising and things like that. There was a place for that, and there was some good stuff I did, but the most important thing was the actual customer service, the delivery of your product to the customer, and them telling their friends, because that's what gets more people through the door.
Right, so give the people that fantastic customer service and find a way to encourage referrals and word of mouth.
Absolutely, yeah.
Superb, good. And of course, you launched Pie Night after Gordon's Gordon Ramsay's advice.
Well, when he came, it was 2008 autumn of, which was when the credit crunch really kicked in. So that was, we were right on the cusp of it, without realizing. You only know with hindsight when some things are happening, but we were right in the middle of it. And so he introduced the credit crunch midweek. It was on a Tuesday night. Pie Night, affordable, good quality.
Yes.
And I said to him at the time, I said, oh, it'll never work, Gordon. You know, people can't just come and have one choice, just pies. It's not enough choice. He said, Justin, trust me, stick with it, it'll work. And then next to a Saturday, it's one of Silversmith's busiest nights and most successful nights. People are still saying, oh, is Pie Night still going? It's actually Pie and Steak Night. The recession's over, so it's Pie and Steak Night now. So you can have steak or pie, and I say it's still ever popular on a Tuesday.
Wonderful. Fantastic. Yeah. So tremendous story there. And what a great opportunity for you, as you said, Justin, earlier, to be able to thank Gordon for the advice that he gave to you. Now, talking about advice, and we've touched on mentoring a little bit earlier on in our conversation, you yourself are now consulting with local startups and restaurants.
Yeah.
And you've taken on your own clients.
Absolutely. I mean, I signed up quite wonderfully. I'd signed up my first clients yesterday. So after just literally the last few weeks of spreading my wings from Silversmith's, to really use the experience that I've got to help others, whether it's a startup or someone that's trying to create a change in the business and going in a different direction. And hospitality is obviously what I know best. So it's actually Doran Totley Golf Club.
Right.
Which are a wonderful, wonderful outfit. I mean, they've got arguably the best greens and courses in Sheffield, but the hospitality offering is lacking. It's lacking behind. So they want to take something which is really kind of standard within the hospitality of a golf club and take it to something quite special, ultimately to a fine dining restaurant. That might be years down the line. Mm-hmm. But my job is to go in and take them through this change, take them through the brand development of what they're doing, and help them with staffing. We were talking about building teams. They've got a great set of staff in there at the moment, but no one's leading them. So they need someone to go in and really help them take what they've got as a rough diamond and polish it and take the whole offering forward, from marketing to branding, team development, supplying. I've got Aberdale Brewery sitting next to me here. So certainly I'm learning they've got some new product lines that'll be absolutely spot on for the club. So it's building relationship with those suppliers, which is absolutely key. I mean, I was just chatting to Dan before from the brewery. You know, the relationship with suppliers for me is just as important with staff, is just as important with customers, because creating that unit and that family, which is what I did with Silversmiths, is what can make you bulletproof when times are hard.
Yes.
And times do get hard. And that is kind of the ethos that I'm taking forward into this sort of consultancy role, really using your suppliers, using your customers and your staff to create a family, to create something which is you know, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Right, so building that that relation, yeah. those relationships so that you're all working together.
Yeah, it yeah. is, it is. And, you know, what I've gone through with Silversmiths and pre-Gordon and post-Gordon gives me, you know, I've been down to the bottom level. My house was repossessed when just before Gordon came. You know, yeah. everything was on the line. Everything was put into it. So I've been to the darkest place, but I've also been to the top of the tree with Silversmiths flying high, winning the awards, you know, and really being top of its tree in its game. So I think there's a huge amount I can offer to those businesses who are either, say, trying to grow or starting up. And also what I'm hoping to do, and already am doing with people like Sheffield Soup, by doing the consultancy work, I can afford to do work which I'm not being paid for, which yes. for me is really important and really exciting. So Sheffield Soup, which I know you know quite well, working with them across the city. Do please look them up, listeners. If you're not sure what it is, just Google it.
Well, interesting stuff there. I'm glad you've said that today, because Sheffield Soup has just opened up applications.
Oh, it has. That's right.
Soup.
I forwarded it this morning.
Yeah.
So, and Sheffield Soup, if you've got a startup business, whatever it is absolutely the place to go to.
Yeah.
You know, you can get between £500 and £1,000 by pitching your little idea in a Dragon's Den type way.
Yeah. Yes, real-time community crowdfunding.
It is. It really is.
I call it. So
that's a great way of putting it, Jane.
You've been
that's
providing the soup.
Yes, exactly that.
Silversmith's providing yeah. soup. That's been fantastic.
Yeah.
People have been getting together. And for listeners who don't know about it, actually most listeners I'm sure will, because I rattle on about it a lot. And we've had Penny Raven on the show talking about soup, and plenty of soup winners. Sheffield Soup, whether you're a business, a startup, a charity, a social enterprise, whether you've got a community idea, you can get in touch with Sheffield Soup, pitch your idea to a panel of judges who are just ordinary people from all over Sheffield. There are 70 or 80 judges. And pitch your idea. The judges will vote for their top four or five ideas. And then the top four ideas get to pitch on the night in front of an audience who've paid a fiver to get in. Everyone who goes along gets some soup, which has been provided by
wonderful soup.
By you, Justin. Super. Boom, boom. See what I did there? And then the crowd on the night vote for a winner who takes the who gets yep, the pot
absolutely
of money.
Right.
And to be quite frank, whether you win on the night or whether you don't win on the night, people have gone on to make relationships.
They have,
and
that's where I'm hoping to put more of my time in, actually, to the winners and those who haven't won, to help mentor them and grow them. And that's where I can give my time to something which is as grassroots as that. I mean, another client interested in that I'm working with at the moment, which is really exciting, is the Light Cinema on the Moor.
Yes.
So it's really a core part of the new Moor development, which again for me is really exciting for Sheffield.
Well, this is exciting for Sheffield indeed.
Yeah, it is. It really is. It's a big investment they're making. And what a lot of people don't realise is that the Light Cinema is an independent cinema. You know, there's only six of them in the country at the moment, so it's not your big Cineworld blockbuster, millions of pounds, all the money going to London. This is a local business, and their mantra, which is why I'm interested to work with them, is to become a cultural hub for the city.
Yeah.
So more than just the cinema, live shows, comedy shows, using it for schools, universities. I'm talking to the folk at Celluloid Screens, which is the fantastic horror festival, film festival that runs, the guys at Dockfest, Shaff, South Yorkshire Independent Film. There's a lot of people that hopefully are going to use that screen for more than just a cinema with blockbusters on. So do watch that space. It's going to be exciting.
Excellent. So working with the Light Cinema too. Great.
Yeah.
So Justin Rowntree, now a mentor to startups, to businesses, to restaurants. And of course, the founder of Silversmiths, thanks ever so much for
coming
in today. We'll return and pick up a chat a little bit later, but let's take a break for a track of music. And this, of course, is a track that I've asked you to choose. I put you on the spot to choose a track of music. It's Golden Slumbers. It's the Beatles. And we'll
just a quick one to say, the reason I chose it, right at the end, you'll hear a line, which is the love you take is equal to the love you make. And that philosophy of goes around, comes around is absolutely at the heart of me.
Thank you.
We're open for business life.
This is Sheffield Live.
You're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. Business Live is our weekly business and social enterprise programme, and we're always interested in hearing from you. So if there's something you want us to discuss, if there's someone who you want to be on the show, or if you want to put yourself forward to be on the programme, then get in touch. Email jamie at sheffieldlive.org, text 07904 272 200. Find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter. Find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. We're always keen to hear from you. You've been hearing earlier today from Justin Rowntree. He, of course, is the founder of Silversmiths, but much more than that, he's also consulting with local restaurants and startups and businesses. And he had a wonderful reunion recently on TV with Gordon Ramsay. Gordon did not know it was coming. Justin had been asked to be on a guest on the nightly show on ITV, and was able to thank Gordon Ramsay for the advice that he gave back in 2009, and talk about the impact that it's made. Now, if you've only just tuned into the show and you've missed that, then don't panic, because you can catch the podcast of today's show. It's going to be up on the Sheffield Live website from about 11 a.m. So we have moved from food to drink. Beer, in fact. Many Sheffielders will love a pint of moonshine, or even Deception. A lovely, lovely beer. So I'm really, really pleased to have in the studio Dan Baxter, Sales and Marketing Director of Aberdale Brewery. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Jamie. Good morning, everybody.
Thanks very much for coming in today.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Did you bring any beer?
I didn't, I'm afraid.
We're not allowed to drink in the studio anyway. But it's a real pleasure to have you here, because Aberdale, of course, is a well-known Sheffield institution now. You've been with the brewery for 10 years or more.
Yeah, that's right.
Yourself. And the brewery's grown dramatically.
It has.
Yeah.
It has. It started back in 1996.
Yeah. Patrick
Morton and his father Hugh started the brewery.
Right.
It's owned by Pat and his wife Sue, and it's been growing ever since.
So that's a great story. Continued growth since 96.
Yeah, yeah, and in the same premises.
We've
been going from strength to strength. Moonshine is, as you say, is one of our flagship beers. It's 50% of our production at the brewery.
Is that right?
Mm.
Yeah. And your beer is popular all over the city, all over the city region. Does it go beyond the city region as well?
It does, yeah. We have about 100 miles radius of Sheffield, and we have wholesalers that take it that little bit further.
Yes.
Our reputation has grown on making top quality cask ale.
Right, yes.
As the market's changed in the last 3 or 4 years into the craft beer kind of movement, so have we, and we've started making keg beer.
Yeah.
And as of a few weeks ago, and again on Sunday, we'll be canning beers as well.
So this is exciting.
Yeah, first going to small pack, yeah.
Yeah, and the Sheffield Beer Report last year that was written by a chap called Pete Brown, and commissioned by the university. And Pete came on the show, actually. We had him on the programme to talk about Sheffield as a beer hub, if you like.
Yeah, he's a great bloke.
Yeah, fantastic. And he was talking about what the city as a whole perhaps needs to do to get an even bigger return on its reputation and on the fantastic breweries that we have here, and that are a real feature, a unique feature of Sheffield. One thing he was talking about was canning lines as well.
Yeah.
So interesting to hear Aberdale's plans there.
Yeah, yeah. He mentioned about having a community kind of canning facility for brewers. Interesting. It needs exploring, definitely.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. So your growth has been great, dramatic. You're selling beer and you've been in the same premises since 96. Growth, of course, leads to
we are busting at the seams.
Yeah.
We really are, we need to move.
Yeah,
basically, it's as simple as that. We need to get more staff. Where we're going to put them? We need to get more stainless steel tanks. Where we're going to put them?
Yeah.
So we've taken this to a crowdfunding platform.
Yes.
Dovetailed into this is, as even though we are, well, one of Sheffield's biggest breweries, but we're also one of the best kept secrets. We believe no one knows where we are. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners there now going, yeah, where are they?
Where are you? For listeners who are asking that.
Just off Abbeydale Road, yep. Near the Picture House, where I'm sure a lot of people will know.
Indeed.
On Hazelwood Road in three industrial units. Yeah, it's...
Three units bursting right now at the seams.
That's right.
And yes, we featured actually Abbeydale Picture House on the show 2 weeks ago. We had an interview with Steve Rimmer of CADS, because they've taken a long lease on the Picture House. So exciting things afoot there.
Yeah, that whole area has become really gentrified in the last 4 years or so. It's an upcoming area of Sheffield, I believe.
Lots going on.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. So. Bursting at the seams. You've mentioned briefly crowdfunding platform. Which one?
Yeah, so it's Crowdfunder. Yeah. We've taken it down this kind of route. We want to strengthen our engagement with our community.
Yeah.
And I must thank our customers over the 21 years, because we wouldn't be where we are now without the support of our customers. Mm. And so we want to thank them for that. We want to bring them into the brewery. The amount of requests I've had from customers, friends and family, can we have a sneaky brewery tour? And it looks, it's difficult. So this really is a big deal for the brewery. Yes. We're opening the doors and we're getting people in.
So if you enjoy Abbeydale Brewery, then... ales, then there are new ways to get involved through this.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
There are the tickets, the early bird tickets on Crowdfunder are £10 each.
And just for anyone who hasn't seen the campaign up on Crowdfunder, what do they get for an early bird ticket then? So
you get a you come to the brewery,
yeah.
And it's about experiencing not just the beer. You've got to have good beer, that's what we're all about, but it's about the sights and smells and sounds and the people that you're with.
Yes.
I think that's seriously important.
And oh yes, indeed, there's a real sort of tactile and sensory overload, I suppose, from going into a brewery.
Its second title is an Abbeydale Brewery and Friends Party. So we're all the people that we've collaborated with over the years, all our connections that we've made. I'm answering your question in a roundabout way. We worked with a company called Glog, a local company, and we helped them design a stainless steel pint cup, which they rolled out at Glastonbury Festival last year.
Yeah.
So we got them back involved, and... part of your £10 ticket, drink some beer out of this Abbeydale branded stainless steel drinking vessel.
Wonderful. That's lovely, isn't it? And you've got live music happening,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, live music. Again, our friends from Now Then magazine, Opus Independence, they're putting on some live music for us. We've got street food vendors, again, people we've collaborated with, the Barbecue Collective, Prove Pizza.
Yeah,
at Brew Mill, and Smofo, the bar snack guy.
Right, lovely. So this is all happening on in May. I think it's the 6th of May, is that right?
Yeah, exactly, the 6th.
6th of May.
My dad's birthday.
Wonderful. I hope he's coming along.
He is. He was the first one to buy the tickets.
Good stuff. It's a party in a brewery. I'm going to resist any obvious jokes.
They've all been made.
It's celebrating 21 years of Abbeydale, and it's a way to go meet the people who make the beer that you know and love and find out more about it, hear some great music, but also it's a way to help Abbeydale Brewery with your future plans.
Yeah, well, we want to, like I said, we want to strengthen our engagement with the community, but also bring them along.
Yeah.
So the way you can buy rewards, so you get your tickets, and there are also chances to go around brewery tour. And you can You can try some of the beers from our barrel aging program, some of our sour beers we've been making.
Yep.
You'll be able to rub hops and match them with beers. These are all different rewards that you can pledge for on the crowdfunding website. Yeah,
yeah, which is fantastic. And as I said, it's a sensory overload, really, going to a brewery and a tactile overload, rubbing hops, you know,
yeah.
and getting these raw ingredients and seeing how they turn from plant to brew. It's fascinating.
That's right.
From a chemical point of view, from a food drink science point of view, I suppose.
Yeah. And incorporating all the senses in what you're doing is really powerful. We myself and other directors of the brewery, we had a little trip around North Carolina in October last year, and we visited several breweries. The breweries that really left an imprint on your mind were exactly these guys that had the community involved, and you're drinking a beer at the bar with the head brewer whilst one of the brewers is starting the brew for the day, and you can smell it. You can smell when they're casting the copper and you're drinking the beer and all the hops are there.
Yes.
All around you. And you can just smell it as you're drinking it. It's so powerful. I'm getting giddy just talking.
It's a great sensory overload, of course. Yeah. So listeners who really love this idea but can't come along on Saturday the 6th of May, they can still get involved in that in other ways as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Merch.
Yep.
you get some tote bags.
Yeah.
You'll be allowed to get some glogs for yourself, and t-shirts as well.
Yeah, a hoodie, and or people can get a private brewery tour or team building experience.
Yeah, absolutely, for their team.
As well, on a date that suits them as well.
That's
lots
right.
going on, but Abidale's been involved in organising parties, if you like, festivals for quite a while. This isn't sort of the first first big party. You've done quite a few, haven't you?
Yeah, over my 10 years I've been here, our calendar has been centred by the beer festival at our pub, The Rising Sun. It's called Sunfest. Happens every second weekend in July. It's absolutely huge. There's always, I think last year there was something like 150 different beers on.
Yeah.
There's a wall of casks, and then and last year we had a wall of keg beer as well. Again, embracing this craft keg kind of market, and it's a great 4-day event.
Yes, quite.
Yeah, and it's always a success.
Yeah,
it's better every year.
Well, Sheffield seems to be doing really well in terms of beer festivals too, of course, and breweries collaborating and working together.
That's right. Yeah.
So which is lovely to see.
Well, it's so easy to do with brewers. I get a lot of people ask, do you all get on, or are you all kind of snarling at each other? Well, no, not really. No, if you want a bag of malt, then just come and ask. If you want to buy some hops, then just come and ask.
Sure.
they reciprocate, and it's we do all get on.
Yes. Well, I mean, that also will resonate, I'm sure, with Justin, because I think when Justin's been on the show in the past talking about food and the restaurant, the restaurant scene, if you like, in Sheffield, we've talked about restaurants and cafes collaborating, mm-hmm. not only through sort of formal events and mechanisms like Eat Sheffield, but simply helping each other out.
It is a community. You said collaboration there, and Sheffield is in the last 4 or 5 years, I've just seen it happen more and more, and it's absolutely key to the success of the city. We've always been, you know, the biggest village. We've always had that label, but I think what we've seen with collaboration between businesses in the last few years is really allowing Sheffield to find its place. And yeah, just like with you, with breweries, with restaurants, if you want to go and eat at Silversmith's, you will. But if you want to go and eat somewhere else, you will. You can't stop people doing that. Better to share the love, and have a united front. And that presents, I think, a very positive view to your customers as well. You know, they go into a pub, they're not always going to drink your beer. That's fine. They might want something. I'm sure you don't always drink Aberdale beer. Maybe you do. You can't say, don't say this live. Don't say this. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. If you cut him in half, he bleeds Aberdale ale. But no, it is collaboration and sharing the love is so key.
And it's easy with restaurants, you know, with beer and food pairings.
Yes, yes.
It's finding foods that that match together. It's easy.
Well, I'll be talking to you about because we want to do beer and food pairing at the Doran Totley Golf Club. So I'll be talking to you about it after.
Well, they're already a customer, so it'll be easy.
Exactly. That's what I realised when you walked in. So we're two steps ahead of the game, but we'll definitely do that, yeah?
Excellent. So collaboration Fantastic. Demonstrated live on air in the Sheffield food and drink scene. And Dan, sales and marketing director of a brewery, it would be many people's dream job, perhaps. And you get to go to America on research trips and on those research trips, drink lovely beer and as you say, it's sensory overload. Now, what advice would you give anyone who's looking to make a career in the brewing industry?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, what you said earlier about taking advice from family and friends. My father's actually one of my biggest role models, as well as the owners of the brewery as well. But it's do what my dad taught me to do, start somewhere, work your way up.
Yes.
So I, after I left, did my A-levels, started working in the pub trade, got a job working in an Aberdale brewery pub. And then they recruited me into they lost a salesman at the time, so they recruited me into the brewery and picked up brewing just by watching and learning. So if someone would call in sick or if someone was on holiday, I'd just stick my hand up and say, "Can I have a go?"
Yeah.
And then with someone else's guidance, start doing it. And I should also mention that I'm a keen cook as well.
Right.
I do all the cooking at home. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Working in a kitchen is really, really stressful.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, indeed.
Working with chefs is really, really stressful, let me tell you.
But the making something for that you're sending out to a customer, and then when you get feedback on it, I mean, how amazing is that?
Right, yeah.
Doing it in a brewery is a lot less stressful, and it's a lot more pleasant experience, in my opinion. Working with sales and production and working up to the top.
Yeah. So that sort of have a go and want to get involved attitude when something needed doing and sort of stepping up and saying, can I do it? And asking for advice, taking support when it was available, finding out how to do things. That's kind of real taking the initiative has helped you.
Yeah. Now, we when we recruit brewers... people with experience is always good, but we kind of strip all that back anyway, and we say, let's show you how we do it, let's do it our way. And we put people through their general certificate in brewing.
Yeah.
Staff leave, and they take that with them, and we think that's fantastic. We now have ex-employees in other breweries all over the UK, mainly West Yorkshire.
So they are using the training and the experience that they've had from you.
Yeah, and again, it's the collaboration aspect. Yeah. We have now friends in other breweries.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a philosophy I have with the staff at Silversmiths over the years, which I'd always say to them, this needs to be a job that will take you where you want to be. I'm not assuming you're going to be here till you're 60 years old. So we need to assume this is a step somewhere. So tell me what it is, the step you want to make. And let's make sure the job you're doing and the experience you're getting is going to help you in your bigger picture of life. And I think if you're open and honest with your staff like that, when it's time to leave, it's a natural time to leave. And I've had two or three head chefs, second chefs who've left at a natural moment. They're my best friends. They still come back and work. And now I've got those contacts in other restaurants and places in Sheffield, and they're friends for life.
Yeah.
You know, if you wait till it goes wrong, it's usually because they're not happy in their role, because they've outlived the role and they want to be somewhere else. And then you end up sacking someone or someone walks out, and it doesn't have to be like that. Mm. And again, in the mentoring I'm doing and the work I'm doing, that's the kind of philosophy I really want to put into people. Sounds like you guys have got it really well nailed at the brewery there.
I agree with you 100%, and it's recognising that and it's changing and adapting to what employees
want. It's amazing how many businesses do not think like that. It's really refreshing to hear it here.
Excellent.
Positive stuff. So in terms of change and adaptation, and if you like... being quite ingenious as you grow, the word ingenious is used to describe your use of your current site, if you like, Dan. You've grown for 21 years. You've outgrown your existing site. You are really using every possible inch.
Correct. Yeah. we make... Well, I'm managing to sell at the moment 210 brewer's barrels, which is about 36 gallon in a brewer's barrel a week. Yep. We can, if we really stretch our legs, I'm told, we could do about 300 barrels a week. But then it's all the containers, all the casks and kegs that you need to store.
Yes.
You then need to get them washed and filled. And so, and all that just requires a lot of space.
Yes, quite. So you've been using the space to its capacity and beyond, but you're going to be moving to a new custom-built site nearby.
With a bit of luck, I mean, anyone that comes on the day, on the 6th, we're hoping we can enlighten everyone on the future and the way we're going. We really want to, as I say, bring people along the journey with us.
Right. So it's a case of get there on the 6th.
Yeah.
If you're over 18. And get along, find out what Aberdale Brewery has been doing and what the next stage is. It's quite exciting. You can also watch a film, which is up on the Crowdfunder website to go into more details. But Sheffield's success story, of course, and well worth going along. This is Business Live with me, Jamie Veitch. My guests today on the show are Dan Baxter, Sales and Marketing Director at Aberdale Brewery, and Justin Rowntree, who's the founder of Silversmith's Restaurant. We've been talking food, we've been talking drink, we've been talking food and drink going together. And we've been talking, first of all, with Justin about meeting Gordon Ramsay, 8 years after Gordon's intervention on TV, and how, in Justin's word, he had to tear you apart to build you back up again.
It's true.
And having the chance to meet Gordon, which was a surprise to Gordon, and thank him for his intervention. We've been then talking with Dan Baxter of Aberdale about Aberdale's brewery's growth. It's 21st anniversary this year, and a party on the 6th of May to which Sheffielders are invited. You can find out more on the Crowdfunder website, crowdfunder.co.uk/Aberdale Brewery, where you can get all the details and get involved. So, delighted to have you both here. Sheffield, from a food and drink perspective, it's going from strength to strength. More places to eat, more places to drink, a very positive scene. And the established and the new food and drink establishments that we have seem to be doing really, really well. Is the future bright, do you both think, for food and for drink in Sheffield?
Yeah, for sure.
It's the training of youngsters and getting them in at kind of school or college level. I always say to my wife at home, I wish I knew back at school doing food tech what I know now, and I really enjoy it. And being able to flavour profile and pull apart a dish or pull apart a beer and map out what you're tasting. Mm.
Yeah, quite. So do we need to do perhaps a little bit more in terms of education than we are doing in school? Do kids at school know what an exciting career could await them?
They don't know how exciting it is.
Right.
That's my
Yeah, my family's slightly different because obviously they've seen me over the last 12 years within the trade. So they're actually very passionate. My young niece, Jasmine, is hot on the heels of any Great British Bake Off finals. I got a Mary Berry's book for Christmas and she's gone through the whole book. She's 11 years old now. I think she's 11. She's just a wonderful cook. She loves it. She's passionate about it. So I think TV's got a lot to answer for in a positive way for the passion that some young kids have got. And maybe they'll get into it more as a profession because of that.
Yeah, I'm certainly going to be teaching my little son Benjamin growing food at home and cooking food. And
yeah.
We've already made our first batch of beer together.
Oh, really? Fantastic. How old's Benjamin?
He'll be three next month.
Good lad. Good lad.
Starting him off early. Good stuff. But it's a real joy, isn't it, to do that kind of cooking and making things at home and to do it as family fun.
Yeah, it
as
is.
Well.
Very
it's
much
great.
So. Very
yeah.
much so.
Yeah, excellent. So I think from the point of view of getting people into, if you like, the food and drink industry, if you can make it exciting, if we can make it exciting in schools, or if we can show how exciting a career it is in schools, that's a really great way to do things. Mm. And there are a growing number of places where people can develop their careers. And as you've both said... say with Aberdale Brewers who've worked for you now working elsewhere. Mm. You all collaborate, you're all friends.
Yeah, we always stay in touch.
Yeah.
And we bring them back in for collaborations, yeah.
Sheffield College is one of the foremost colleges for catering in the country.
Yes, quite.
There's probably four or five of my staff have all come through there,
right.
Including head chef Lee Mangles. So, you know, this the level of training available in Sheffield and the university course here for hospitality is, again, second to none countrywide.
Yeah.
So you're in the right city if you're in Sheffield.
In the right city indeed. Superb. Good. Well, I'd really like to thank you both, Dan Baxter, Aberdale Brewery, and Justin Rowntree, not only the founder of Silversmiths, but also consultant to startups, food and drink businesses. Now, people can get in touch with both of you. I've given the address for the Aberdale Brewery party on the 6th of May. Sounds like that's going to be a lot of fun. That's crowdfunder.co.uk/Aberdale Brewery. Of course, you can find Aberdale Brewery online in other ways too.
Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all those.
Brilliant. Yeah. So get in touch with Dan and with the team there through all the usual channels. Easy to find, Aberdale Brewery. Similarly, get in touch with Justin.
Yeah, I'm dead easy to find on Facebook, Justin Rowntree, and Twitter, Justin_Rowntree.
Excellent. Superb. Well, Justin, Dan, thank you both very much.
Thanks,
my pleasure.
You've been listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. We'll be back on air next Friday from 9 through to 10 on Friday, the 14th of April. But don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music show from 10 through to noon. Thank goodness it's folk. Thanks for listening today. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Justin. Thanks very much indeed, Sangeeta, in the studio as our sound engineer. And we'll play out with a track of music. Now, this one has been chosen by our second guest in the programme today. It was Dan Baxter's choice when I put him on the spot and said, Dan, choose me some music, otherwise I'm going to have to inflict Adam and the Ants on the listeners. So, listeners, Dan Baxter has rescued you from my appalling taste in music. We're going to have a bit of Chuck Berry, and the track is called You Never Can Tell.
We're open for Business Live.
This is Sheffield Live.